I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, 2 hours a day. In the second hour of today's show, we'll do what we do every Friday. We'll take a look at foreign policy stuff. Turns out, I was right. The conflict between Russia and Ukraine could have been solved in an afternoon. We're finding out now why it hasn't been. Talks were actually scuttled. We'll take a look at a story about that as you are stripped of your wealth. Even our own Roger Wicker was very excited about the tens of billions of dollars going to Ukraine for a conflict that didn't need to happen, could have been settled in an afternoon. And they were very close to doing that until the United States and Great Britain stepped in the way. So we'll take a look at that along with some other foreign policy stuff and False Flag Friday. And then we will finish up, as we always do, with This Week on the Crazy Train. The first hour could be considered that as well. We're going to take a listen, and really you have to look. Audio does not do it justice. Joe Biden's speech last night, one of the most disgusting and dangerous things I've ever seen for the United States. Now, normally when presidents give these kind of vitriolic fire and brimstone speeches, the rest of the world quakes. Because they know that innocent people around the world are going to die. The speech that Joe Biden gave last night with the optics, you've got to see. If you've not seen the images of this speech, the red lights behind him, the blood-soaked stage, the very accurate comparisons between Biden's speech and V for Vendetta, the dictatorship government there, and the speeches that they gave in front of the blood-red imagery. It really was quite disgusting, and I've got a couple of libertarians weighing in on it as well. It gives me to my quote of the day today. The Libertarian Party tweeted out, "You're living under the government the founders warned you about." You're living under the government the founders warned you about. And I will add to that, the Libertarian Party, for the past 50 years, has been echoing these warnings, understanding that the Founding Fathers knew what they were talking about, and this has been trending in this direction for all 50 years of the existence of the Libertarian Party. It's why they were created in the first place. Joe Biden's speech, absolutely disgusting. Really, one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen. You know, we think about they're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. They promise they're not targeting average people with it. Joe Biden painted the bullseye on tens of millions of his own citizens yesterday. So much for the uniter in chief, right? It really is a disgusting thing to see. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and start this. I've tried to kind of start Friday Fight Club. I take positions that are not particularly popular with mainstream conservatives. I know I've got my listeners who agree with some of these things. And so I'll usually start Fridays with something that I perceive maybe some of my most unpopular positions. But now I'm starting to believe that one thing that I've been talking about for a while now may be getting more popular. People may be actually seeing this for themselves, finally. And this is, I did a show, I think, on Tuesday about the unforgivability of what we've seen with this this inoculation program, this grand experiment on humankind. We all know the dangers of this thing. We know the increased mortality. We've seen the young people dropping on the fields of sports. We know the children that have been affected by this. We know the VAERS statistics, and we know all the way up to the most mainstream news source that these shots don't even work. And so it is, in my estimation, absolutely unforgivable what's been done. And I talked about it when it came to Donald Trump on Tuesday. So in honor of Fight Club Friday, you'll have an opportunity to call if you want to. But maybe so many people aren't quite as forgiving as I thought they were. I'm going to play. This is actually Alex Jones. One of the thoughts has been, and I've talked about the people who want to excuse Donald Trump for these shots say he was duped. Well, we're about 18 months post-duping, right? 20 months, something like that, 21 months since he was duped. All of the facts are in. All of the statistics are in. Trump's had a chance to take a look at it. And what has Trump decided to do?
So I shot an emergency message about a week and a half ago to Trump. He got it. He watched it. And then I got the response back. And Trump told the people that brought it to him. I've talked to him in the meeting. And Trump said, I don't want to hear about questioning this so-called vaccine again. I call it a so-called vaccine. He said, I don't want to hear about this again from anybody. I think it's good. And that's it.
There you go. Trump says, sit down and shut up. The shot is good. 20 months now, he's had a chance to take a look at this. I'm sure he's aware of the existence of VAERS, of the fact that Trump supporters in mass are against this program, see the dangers of it, see the damage that it has done. Donald Trump's reaction is, shut up.
So Trump, last Friday, in response to all of this, said, I believe what I did was good. It's an effective vaccine. It works. And that's it. Even though they admit it doesn't work, even though they admit it's hurting people, even though they admit it's a fraud, he still says 95% effective. And that's Trump doing that. That's not me.
I think it actually gets a little worse. So, again, this is my Friday Fight Club topic. People who still want to make excuses for Donald Trump, I believe this is an unforgivable act. And with 20 months of evidence of exactly what this shot, the dangers that it has been to Americans, there are literally people dying from these shots, people whose lives are being destroyed. This has been going on for 20 months now. Donald Trump doesn't want to hear about it. Sit down and shut up, Trump supporters.
So now he's not at the point of being tricked by it. Because it's all out in the open. It's all coming out. It doesn't work, makes you sick, and hurts you. Now he is deciding to be part of this.
Yeah, and let me say this. I mean, to the idea of duped, I will repeat. You do not have to be an immunologist. You do not have to be a virologist. You do not have to be a vaccinologist, if that's actually a thing, to understand that you do not roll out something that has had no long-term safety testing. I don't really care how many scientists walk up to me and say, President Madison, sir, we've got this shot. We think it works really great, because a President Madison with no medical training whatsoever would say, well, what about the long-term effects of it? Don't they usually study vaccines for 7 to 12 years? And when they say, well, we just don't have time to do that, I say, well, we cannot, with no long-term safety testing, roll this out and jam it into the arms of our teens and our toddlers. That's not a difficult pushback, because it complies with all of the norms we have ever known in vaccine technology, which is long-term safety studies. You don't even have to demand extra safety studies, just the normal kind. But Trump has instead decided that There's just absolutely no need for those things.
Now he is deciding to be part of this. He's deciding to become metaphysically Bill Gates. He's deciding to become Peter Daszak. He's deciding to become Anthony Fauci. He's deciding to become Birx and Walensky. And so he is deciding to separate himself from us and to be that. And when he does that, that's his choice. We are now, at least for me, separated from him. Doesn't mean I won't stand up against the persecution against Trump. Doesn't mean I don't love the great things he did. It just means dead kids and maimed children and shots that erase your immune system and cause heart attacks and infertility, I will not be part of that. So it's very, very simple of where we stand here on the air. Trump's been given a chance. He's been given a year and 8-9 months to make his proper decision, and he's not done it. Now, maybe he'll change course, but Trump, his strength was he never changed his course. But it's also his weakness. It's a paradox. And so I support Trump calling for a new election. I support him exposing China. I support him trying to control the border. I love it all. Except the poison shots. And I know my listeners are already there.
So, very interesting. This was Alex Jones. Basically, several people I read you from the other day, State of the Union, an alternative media source, had penned an open letter to Donald Trump asking him to reconsider his support for this. They gave him every bit of grace they could possibly do. We know you've been duped. You were surrounded by big pharma shills in the White House, too. My question would always be, well, why were there so many big pharma shills surrounding Donald Trump in the first place? Nobody wanted to talk about that. But there you go. Trump has made his position known now with 20 months of evidence about it. And he basically says he doesn't want to hear about it anymore. Let the shots continue. Let the maimings continue. Let the six-month-olds continue to be inoculated with these things. He won't speak out against it because it was his greatest accomplishment. He doesn't want to be bothered. And, you know, this really, you know, the political attacks on Trump notwithstanding, I believe this is really the most beautiful political theater for dividing people I've ever seen, but you know, I started thinking about even the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago the other day. People are saying he's going to be indicted. Now they're saying that it's going to be after the midterms. I can't see him being arrested and jailed. But even if that happened, how outraged am I supposed to be that Donald Trump might be subjected to the exact same treatment that he subjected Julian Assange to? Now, Julian Assange was innocent. Julian Assange did nothing wrong. He actually was fighting the deep state. He published deep state secrets leaked to him, as journalists are supposed to do. But Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo didn't care about unfair charges then. They didn't care about an innocent man being hounded and persecuted and jailed for absolutely no reason. As a matter of fact, they talked a little bit about possibly kidnapping him or killing him. So why would Donald Trump expect better treatment? And why would I really care that he might be subjected to exactly the same kind of treatment that he foisted on Julian Assange? You know, if somebody kills somebody, we aren't necessarily sympathetic if the killer is then killed, are we? Kind of feels karmic in a way. Donald Trump did... He did vow. Donald Trump vows pardons, government apology to Capitol rioters if elected. Translation when I read that. He won't lift a finger to help him unless you return him to power. All right, so there we go. I'm going to move on to Biden's speech because it was disgusting. Absolutely, horrifically disgusting from the visual to the audio. This government right now, as the Libertarian Party tweeted out, you are living under the government that the founders warned you about, and it was on full display last night. lest anybody think they just tuned into some kind of a liberal show. That's not the case at all. But I'm just saying, the cloak is being removed. I'm telling you, I'm always skating to where the puck is going. I think that this awakening will continue when it comes to Donald Trump. We'll see. Be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
I'm going to go right back to the quote of the day. Libertarian Party tweeted out, "You're living under the government the founders warned you about." What was really disgusting about Joe Biden's speech, well, one of about 1,000 things, was that it was billed, and I guess I don't even have cable at this point. I have not only weaned myself off of the morning shows and the nightly news and everything else, which I have admitted in the past I was kind of addicted to, because I wanted to see what was going on, and it almost kind of got me fired up to watch these things. Some days when I was in the right mood, I just laugh at it, but I don't even have cable, so I didn't watch this. But what my understanding is, this was billed as a speech to the nation, not a political rally. It was certainly closer to just a pure political speech. They even said on the news this morning that the audience was majority Democrats, and you can tell by some of the horrific applause lines. But you have got to see this speech, at least I wouldn't dare to suggest you sit through the entire thing. And I don't care if you are on the right or the left, young, old, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. This should scare the hell out of you. Because this is the government the founders warned you about. You will fall. It doesn't matter if you think you're in Biden's favored camp right now. As this economy turns, as you see the disastrous consequences of policies from the Biden administration, when you turn against those, they will aim their target at you. You will be in the crosshairs. This speech should really terrify anybody. I'd kind of like to think, well, I mean, the guy is so incompetent that really, what kind of a threat could he be to everybody? But we know that the people behind him mean this. And you have to see this. You have to see the imagery of this speech with the blood-soaked stage, the red lighting behind him as he's spotlighted, and the silhouettes of military behind him. It is about as fascist a speech that's ever been given. There have been some comparisons to some others I'll get to in just a minute. But it is a terrifying image to realize this is the country that we're in right now. We'll play a couple of clips from this speech last night that was billed as an address to the nation, not a political speech, when we can tell it was nothing but partisan.
But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault.
He's right about that. He's right about that. Because all of the Trump supporters, all the MAGA supporters out there, you ain't equal. You are lesser than. And he is the man doing the assaulting on this, air quotes here in the studio, democracy. I think I'll bring that up again later in the show.
We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight,
he's dusted off the old get off my lawn. So to somebody, this is somehow effective.
I've come to this place where it all began.
Strangely enough, to tie a bow on it as we end it. I guess that was the symbolism of this. Here's where our country started, and here's where it ends.
To speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our own hands to meet these threats, and about the incredible future that lies in front of us if only we choose it. We must never forget, we the people are the true heirs of the American experiment that began more than two centuries ago. We the people have burning inside of each of us the flame of liberty.
You know, it is quite amazing to listen to this man of all men, but really anybody in government, to talk about the flame of liberty. The flame of liberty was extinguished decades and decades ago in the hearts of most people, certainly in the last 2 years. As they allowed you allowed the government to shut down your businesses, to shut down your churches, to shut down your schools, to tell you if you were essential or not. These are all things that are anathema to liberty. Understanding both freedom and liberty, you're free to do just about anything in this country, but you don't have the liberty to do everything because they'll put you into a cage. It's really quite amazing to hear Joe Biden speak of the flame of liberty as he micromanages the entire country and tries to get into every nook and cranny of your life and criminalize your thoughts.
That was lit here at Independence Hall. A flame that lit our way through abolition, the Civil War, suffrage, the Great Depression, world wars, civil rights. That sacred flame still burns.
That's quite a laundry list of things that we have survived as a nation, and then to think one old dementia patient may take it all down.
Now in our time, as we build an America that is more prosperous, free, and just, that is the work of my presidency, a mission I believe in with my whole soul. But first, we must be honest with each other and with ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal.
Well, amen to that. That may be the most accurate thing he's ever said. This is not normal. Or it's not in the way that he's referring to it, but he's right about that. There is nothing normal about this administration, this regime, excuse me.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front.
Where is that North Korean first strike nuclear device when you need it? Listen to this room full of sycophants out there calling out tens of millions of American citizens. A direct political attack. If you disagree with these people, you're an extremist, and the next word closest to that is you should be exterminated.
Every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans.
To destroy this country. It's one of the reasons I attack the Republican Party on a regular basis here on the show. I got to take a break. We're going to come back. There's other clips. This is Joe Biden. I'm going to give you some, what I think are some great quotes, more succinct than I will be. I got 2 hours to fill. I can't afford to be too succinct. But we'll listen to a little bit more of this absolutely horrific speech. And as I said, if you have not seen this, you need to see the imagery. You need to understand. You need to understand what is taking place and to see it. Because here's the thing. Somebody chose this backdrop. This was not an accident. It didn't just accidentally look like something from some dystopian movie about a fascist takeover of a government. No, this was deliberate messaging. You just have to see. The optics matter. They know the optics matter. There are no accidents when they stage these kinds of productions in politics. They are there to send you a message. It's like the purple that the Clintons wore when she conceded. Everybody's wearing purple, purple, purple everywhere. Their color of royalty. Everything is thought out. Everything from tie color is thought out. Trust me, the backdrop to this thing was well thought out. They're sending you a message. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're taking a look at this rise of the totalitarian state in all of its glory last night with the blood-soaked red background, the outline of the military that, oh, man, Who was it? Was it Jefferson who said standing armies are not good for liberty? I've been on the air here and talking about it from my private life for 15, 17, 19 years, whatever it is, warning you, cheering these military budgets. You've created the police state that they are rolling out on you. You know, I've asked the question a lot of times, is there any line in the sand where people would say, I'm done, I'm not paying for this stuff anymore? And there's just a million different reasons. But I always wonder if there's any, like, real line. I never get any response because people have just given up. They've given up this idea that I'm going to get in trouble. It's the law, Mike. You know, I've thought about that. You know, if you're in a company of 100 people and 60 of them decide that they're going to take money from certain people within the corporation, do those people in the corporation, do they just go, oh, well, 60% of the people agreed to come take money for me, so I guess I just give it up. Now, I haven't voted for any of these people in well over a decade, since I believe 2004, until Trump. I got duped into voting for somebody who held office in Donald Trump. Oh, gosh, my unblemished record of not supporting any of this stuff, Trump suckered me in and got a vote for him. But outside of that, I don't vote for these people. So within your company, I don't know if all the radio show hosts here decided to get together and we all voted unanimously. We don't have a huge staff here at this station, but if the majority of us decided that we were gonna take 30% of the owner's money out of his accounts every month, does he have to just abide by that? Well, I mean, they took a vote. The majority of people decided to come take my money. You know, taxation is so disgusting, but I'm just wondering if I've asked this question over and over again. Is there any red line? Is it the funding 87,000 new IRS agents? Is it the tens of billions of dollars going to Ukraine? Is it funding all this ridiculous research we do? Is it paying Pfizer and Moderna to poison people? Is there any line where people say, I'm out, I'm not doing it anymore, I don't really care what the risks are? Is the line that you're funding this man, Joe Biden, and his regime? This is another clip from the speech where he talks about you election deniers.
Democracy cannot survive when one side believes there are only two outcomes to an election. Either they win or they were cheated. And that's...
This is, of course, the same, and every conservative will point this out, and they're right. This is the same party that went after Trump for 3 years of Russian interference in our 2016 elections. They just refused to admit that they got beaten, that Hillary Clinton's one of the most objectionable human beings to ever walk the face of the planet.
That's where the MAGA Republicans are today.
You know, these aren't sheep in this audience. I take that back. These aren't sheep. These are people sitting atop. They are the profit takers of this new fascist system that Joe Biden's rolling out.
They don't understand what every patriotic American knows. You can't love your country only when you win. It's fundamental. American democracy only works only if we choose to respect the rule of law and the institutions that were set up in this chamber behind me.
Oh, please. The institutions that currently exist have nothing to do with the founding of this country, and the founding fathers would be ashamed of us for allowing the institutions that we have allowed this government to grow into.
Only if we respect our legitimate political differences.
This is quite rich, isn't it? We got to respect our political differences. But I'm going to come on here, I'm going to do a speech in front of the nation, couch it as some kind of an address to the country, and I'm going to call out about 80 million Americans as extremists and a danger, a threat to the country. We need to respect political differences, but if you don't support me, if you support that other guy, you're a threat to the democracy and need to be dealt with.
I will not stand by and watch. I will not the will of the American people be overturned by wild conspiracy theories and baseless evidence-free claims of fraud. I will not stand by and watch elections in this country stolen by people who simply refuse to accept that they lost.
And this, I believe, this kind of talk here, means that the midterms, better have your false flag warnings flying. This midterm election, particularly if the Democrats are set for some kind of a shellacking, could be a very dangerous time in this country. But when I ask you, if there's anything that you wouldn't pay for, maybe you would finally draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not funding this. Could it be that you've got a regime in Washington, D.C. that uses your money against you, your family, your children, takes your money, and then calls you a clear and present danger to the country? This was, for the American citizen, one of the most terrifying and concerning speeches that I've ever seen. Now, that's for the people of America. Here are some responses to it. Dave Smith, libertarian comedian and one of the guys that headed up the takeover of the Libertarian Party recently, he said, people are acting like Biden's speech last night was something we've never seen. Not true. It reminded me a lot of Bush's speeches in 2002 pushing for a war in Iraq. I guess the slight difference is that Biden is pushing for a war against America. Tho Bishop said, tonight was the Biden equivalent of the Axis of Evil speech, with Iraq, Iran, and North Korea replaced with Iowa, Florida, and North Carolina. GhostGuns.com tweeted out, very succinctly, your government hates you. And the Libertarian Party tweeted out, last night's speech is why we need a national divorce. This man has absolutely no business ruling over people that he will openly, on national news, across all spectrums and all channels, essentially declare war on and express his hatred for. And yet he is supposed to be representing all of the people, regardless of how you vote. This is was a incredibly scary speech, and I think it's the beginning, not the end, of the scariness.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
So the question a lot of people are asking is, well, how in the hell did we get here? It's been a long slide, but what do they say? You get the leaders that you deserve. And I think we do. I've got a couple of clips here. This first one is just kind of a recap. It's a brief clip from the documentary Idiocracy. If you've not seen this documentary, you should check it out. I believe it streams on YouTube. And then I'm going to follow it up with some current audio.
They're watering crops with a sports drink?
Rondo the Thirst Mutilator had come to replace water virtually everywhere. Water, the basic component of all life, had been deemed a threat to Rondo's profit margin. The solution came during the budget crisis of 2330, when the Rondo Corporation simply bought the FDA and the FCC, enabling them to say, do, and sell anything they wanted. Joe didn't know any of this, but he did see a problem that he might actually be able to solve. With his options running out, Joe took a bold step. He would not get out of the way. This time, he would lead.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water. Like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look. The plants aren't growing. So I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Sorry,
let's go back.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem, I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brando's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brando.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brando?
Because Brando's got electrolytes.
If that doesn't sound like a conversation you've had with somebody about the shots, I don't know what does. If I was more clever and more sophisticated digitally, I would be able to come up with that skid and somehow change the things to vaccines. It doesn't stop the spread, right, but it's a vaccine. Well, it doesn't keep you from getting sick. Yeah, but it's a vaccine. It's got mRNAs. but the reason that I play that, Idiocracy, it's a documentary or a prophecy. I think maybe a prophecy might be a better term for the movie, Idiocracy. This is how we got here. This is how we got to where we are right now as a country. And this is why I support the libertarian call for a national divorce. We've got to go our own ways, our separate ways in this country. Some will fail, some will succeed. And it's going to be based on the character and the intelligence of the people you surround yourself with. Here's a clip from a guy. I think he goes by the name of Clown World, for a little bit of Man on the Street. So hearkening to the prophecy that is Idiocracy, that's supposedly in the year 2300. But I got to tell you, the timeline seems to be accelerating.
How many letters are in the alphabet?
24?
Do you know how many seasons there are?
12. I don't know. 12?
Yes. What language do the people in Idaho speak?
Potato.
Wait, what? What language?
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind was potatoes.
How many states make up the United States? Guess a number if you don't know.
Five.
Yes. What continent are we on right now?
What continent? I think like North Africa.
What's 3 times 3 times 3?
18.
Yes. How many cents are in $1?
How many cents are $1?
Yeah.
1, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, 6.
Yes. Do you know what country we gained our independence from?
Mexico, right? No, that's so wrong. Russia, no. I don't know.
Give me a final guess.
Canada, I don't know.
Yes, do you know what year the U.S. was founded?
1827.
Yes, the shape with four sides called?
I don't know. I haven't done something with shapes since like fifth grade.
I'm kind of silly. Yeah, if you had a guess.
I don't know. Like, I don't, all right. I know what shapes have four sides, but I don't know the name for it.
Yes, can you name three countries besides the USA?
Alabama.
That's one.
New Mexico.
Two.
And Connecticut.
Three. It's too easy for you. What is 1/4 plus 2 dimes?
1/4 plus 2.
How much money is that?
That's 65 cents. Is it? 65 cents?
Yes. Can you tell me what time this is?
Okay, I know the long one is the hour.
Yeah.
So that's 10. Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, my God is right. If you didn't know the answer to any of those questions very quickly, please refrain from ever discussing politics or so-called, air quotes here in the studio, science. And for the love of God, please stop voting for anybody. Ever at any time. Now, these may not be voters. They may not understand what voting is and don't know that there are days where you are supposed to go vote. Let's just pray, fingers crossed here in the studio. But this is, and I'm very cognizant of the fact that, these guys who go out and do these things, they cut and splice. They probably found a few people in that crowd who could tell you what 1/4 and 2 dimes, how much money that was. It's not funny to include that in the clip. I'm sure that they existed and they didn't use those people. But the fact that we do have walking amongst us, and I'm telling you, I've been doing some of these entry-level job interviews recently, and I can guarantee you there are many walking among us that are also incapable of thought. So this is, to me, it does answer the question of how we got here, and it does seem rather depressing for the fact that we might be able to make it out of this. When it comes to national divorce, I think I'll be seeking an area where the IQ maybe is tested for entry to that place, but it's just, oh my gosh. This is your American education system. This is kind of my whole week, this week of shows, all wrapped up into 1 2-minute clip of exactly what we're dealing with and how bad the systems of this country have failed in that particular case, mostly our children and young adults. So anyway, not a cause for celebration, but it does explain why we are where we are. When I come back, get into some foreign policy stuff. And then this week on the Crazy Train. Stay with me.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
What?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. Every Friday at 10 o'clock, we start focusing in on my message to the people, which is you are continually lied, manipulated, tricked into wars, wars for power and profit, having nothing to do with national security of the United States. We are, most of people on the right are kind of waking up to this. The left used to know it. I did a quote the other day where they said, once you've woken up, you never go back to sleep. The left has completely decided that militarism now is their new patriotism. The right seems to be catching on to these endless wars. It is the one thing that I can credit Donald Trump for giving some cover for people who were too scared to come out and call a spade when it comes to the American empire, because we've been convinced that militarism is patriotism here in the United States. Plato, quotes of the day today. Plato said, a tyrant is always stirring up some war or other in order that the people may require a leader. And now we've seen, you know, I quoted Dave Smith earlier, said the speech Biden gave last night was very similar to the speeches that George Bush gave about the axis of evil. It's just that now Joe Biden is targeting the American people. It's the same thing. A tyrant is always stirring up some war or other in order that the people may require a leader. And that's exactly what Joe Biden did last night. Tried to scare the American people that there's a threat to their country, and so they need him. They need him to fight this threat to democracy, which is our own citizens. It will work on some people, too. Julian Assange said, quote, if wars can be started with lies, peace can be started with truth. Amen. We get very little truth. And then Libertarian Party said this. I don't know how well received this will be by people, but well-meaning Americans often join the military with the intention of defending their country. The state exploits this impulse by sending them overseas to expand the American empire and benefit the military-industrial complex instead. It's the ultimate perversion of patriotism. And that's exactly what it is. Perverted patriotism, which is what the government needs. I saw a GOP tweet. It was recognizing, I guess, the one-year anniversary of the botched pullout of Afghanistan. And my response to that is, I don't disagree. Obviously, it was a total mess. But if the Republicans could have done it better, they had 20 years to do it. So, you know, just saying. If Donald Trump could have pulled us out of Afghanistan in an orderly, responsible way, he had already made a peace deal with the Taliban, then he should have done it himself rather than leaving it to the mental patient. But the Republican Party was talking about that, and they said, but we want to make sure everybody understands, if you served in Afghanistan, your sacrifices were not in vain. That's right. They want to make sure that you still feel good about their failed war in Afghanistan, so you keep enlisting and that they can continue to get bodies into their war machine. Hard to make a lot of money if you don't have this huge military to ship halfway around the world. Iraq has devolved into what is looking like a tiny bit of possible civil war I've actually got a clip on that. Let me see if that was where it was. I'll tell you what, I'll have to find it. It's further down in my notes. There's a trend going around the world that I'm actually kind of excited about. very few trends I approve of these days, but there's one that's pretty good. Anyway, Iraq on the verge of civil war. You know, people always say, well, America should never apologize for anything. There's a lot of people who think that's very patriotic to say that we never apologize for anything. I got to tell you, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I sure would love to see a statesman become president and do an apology tour around the world that we supported these neocon warmongers who wrecked country after country and then tell people we're not going to do that anymore. I think that would be fantastic. Our good friends Israel, are up to some actions these days. On Wednesday night, Israel conducted an unprecedented near simultaneous attack on both of Syria's international airports. Airstrikes on both Aleppo International Airport in northwestern Syria and Damascus International Airport just outside of the capital came just hours apart. While Damascus Airport has been hit on multiple occasions over the past years of war in Syria, at times bringing commercial aviation to a halt at the airport, this is the first known time both civilian hubs were hit on the same day. They were attempting to take away the ability of a sanctioned, U.S.-sanctioned Iranian plane from landing in Syria. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. People believe that we support everything that the Israeli government does, and if you don't, you're anti-Jew. It's absolutely ridiculous. The same thing as saying if I criticize Barack Obama, it means I'm a racist. It's the same level of thinking there, but in conservative circles, they've gotten away with this idea that if you speak out against the government of Israel, you're somehow anti-Semitic. It makes no sense. But if China decided to levy sanctions against the United States and we were trying to fly a ship into England, and so they bombed the airports in England to stop our plane from arriving, I would imagine people might find that kind of gross. That's what Israel's doing. Israel has also recently bought refueling tankers to help them if they decide to attack Iran, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. There's a lot of actual movement. The Israeli military is making a lot of, they are writing a lot of checks that the United States will be asked to cash. So I'm just saying. I tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break and come back. I've talked endlessly since the beginning of the Ukraine conflict that it could have been solved in an afternoon. It was not hard. The negotiations are actually very easy. Russia has said exactly what it wanted for quite some period of time. And they were not out-of-bounds demands in any way, shape, or form, yet the war rages on, and I believe Western powers are ready to fight, along with Zelensky, the massively corrupt president of Ukraine. They're willing to fight to the last Ukrainian, but news has come out and shown that this thing was just about at the point of a diplomatic solution until some of the familiar faces stepped in and stopped it. The situation that led to the Russia-Ukraine conflict we're seeing right now are pretty simple, really. When the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union collapsed, the United States made a promise to Russia that we wouldn't move NATO any closer to their country, not one inch east, is what they said. In the 30 years after that, the U.S. continued to add, and with the NATO countries, continued to add other countries to NATO closer and closer and closer to Russia. They sat there and took it, said, please stop doing this. Please stop doing this. Don't do this anymore. We're telling you don't do this until it came down to Ukraine and the talk of Ukraine membership. Ukraine had in 2014 a Russian-friendly government. They were cooperating. No problems there. No death, no mayhem, no energy crisis, no nothing. The United States said, that's no good. We need to go in and overthrow that government that's friendly with Russia. And in 2014, a lot of people died when the U.S. orchestrated, along with European countries, a coup of the government in Ukraine, overthrew the Russian-friendly government and put in a government hostile to Russia. This government fairly rapidly started attacking and trying to ethnically cleanse ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine, murdering people who spoke Russian. They outlawed speaking Russian in Ukraine. Russia said, please stop killing our people in eastern Ukraine. The Ukrainian government said no. They tried to do a peace talk, the Minsk Accords. Ukraine ignored those and continued using Nazi battalions to murder ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine until pretty much Russia said, well, we've got to go in there and stop this. Now, I wish they didn't have to go in there, but the bottom line is this whole thing is if Ukraine said we will not join NATO and we will stop attacking ethnic Russians in the east and recognize the autonomy that those people have voted for, this war's over in an afternoon. Could have been avoided altogether. This is not, it's really not even a difficult diplomatic thing, not even a whole lot of moving pieces. They just really wanted the Ukraine government to stop murdering their own citizens of Russian ethnicity. And this story comes out now. There's mounting evidence that the war in Ukraine could have been over by this point, but key Western backers of Kiev sought to sabotage the potential for peaceful settlement through negotiations. That's precisely what regional Ukrainian media reports concluded as early as May, soon after the UK's Boris Johnson. There are so many snakes in the conservative movement. I'm going to get to a couple more of them in just a second. You know, Boris Johnson hailed as this new conservative leader of England. He's a blood-soaked warmonger monster. After UK's Boris Johnson showed up at the Capitol on a surprise visit to meet with Volodymyr Zelensky for the first time in the month prior. This is what the Ukrainska Pravda said at the time, but which was almost completely ignored in Western mainstream media. According to Ukrainska Pravda sources close to Zelensky, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Boris Johnson, who appeared in the Capitol almost without warning, brought two simple messages. The first is that Putin is a war criminal. He should be pressured, not negotiated with. And the second is that even if Ukraine is ready to sign some agreements on guarantees with Putin, they, the UK and the US, are not. At the time, the Istanbul peace talks, which saw top officials from each warring side gather in the Turkish capital, was hailed in some corners as the quickest way to end the war in Ukraine. This was according to Erdogan, the president there's words, who was seeking to mediate between Moscow and Kiev. But as the invasion order by Putin pressed on, Britain especially was the earliest out in front, making large weapons and munitions deliveries to Ukraine via military transport planes a high priority. UK press reports also took note of the convenient timing of London going all hawkish on Ukraine, giving Prime Minister Johnson's enduring Partygate scandal at home. So this is one of those wag the dog scenarios, like what Clinton did when he started bombing places because he was getting in trouble over the Lewinsky affair. This could have been over at just about any time. According to multiple former U.S. senior officials, in April of 2022, Russian and Ukrainian negotiators appeared to have tentatively agreed on the outlines of a negotiated interim settlement. Russia would withdraw to its position on February 23rd when it controlled part of the Donbass region and all of Crimea. In exchange, Ukraine would promise not to seek NATO membership and instead receive security guarantees from a number of countries. They had this thing at the finish line, a peace agreement. Western powers, led by Boris Johnson, with the support of the United States, went over there and scuttled peace negotiations. And now you are forced to spend tens of billions of dollars in a war that will murder a lot of Ukrainians. This is Western leadership, both the UK and Great Britain. This I want to play. This is an old clip. Speaking of snakes in the conservative movement, most people are on to these people, but this is a bit of history. I've played this before. This was when the two lovers, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, went over to Ukraine. This was on December 31st of 2016. This is after Donald Trump had won the American election and was set to take office in January of 2017. This is what Lindsey Graham and John McCain said to Ukrainian troops.
Your fight is our fight. 2017 will be the year of offense. All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia.
Ми всі повернемося до Вашингтону, і ми будемо відстоювати санкції проти Росії.
Enough of a Russian aggression.
Досить вже російської агресії.
It is time for them to pay a heavier price.
Час вже за щоб вони заплатили важчу ціну.
I believe you will win. I am convinced you will win, and we will do everything we can to provide you with what you need to win.
Я вірю в те, що ви виграєте, переможете. Я переконаний в тому, що ви переможете, і ми вам допоможемо всіма можливими засобами. Thank you.
So there's Lindsey Graham and John McCain, the lovers of destruction. I had gone over there on December 31st of 2017. I guess this was their New Year's Eve trip. Hey, I mean, there's no better way to ring in a new year than starting a new war for these two psychopaths. Luckily, one of them is beneath our feet right now, looking up at us, burning in hell for all eternity. Lindsey Graham is still serving in the Senate. Here's the inconvenient part where I might lose you. They knew that they would be able to talk Trump into, or already knew that he would. When they got back, they delivered on that promise, and it was Donald Trump who started shipping in lethal weapons to the Ukrainian Nazis to attack ethnic Russians in the eastern of Ukraine. A lot of people will say, well, Trump didn't start any new wars. Well, he certainly got this one heated up. Donald Trump was the one who started sending lethal weapons into Ukraine to the corrupt Nazi-run Ukrainian government. And it was these weapons that were used for the next 4 years during the Trump administration to murder ethnic Russians in Ukraine, which also led to this incursion into Ukraine by Russia. I'm just saying. Now, here's your tax dollars at work. Quote, it's not at the level we would like to go into combat, unquote, a U.S. defense official told the Wall Street Journal of the Pentagon's fast depleting stockpiles due to an unprecedented defense aid to Ukraine, and stressed in particular that artillery ammunition is now, quote, uncomfortably low. What's more is that the shortfall will likely last into the future, given the norm is for new purchases and then manufacturers supplying the weapons to take a process of years. Quote, the U.S. has, during the past 6 months, supplied Ukraine with 16 U.S. rocket launchers, known as HIMARS. Thousands of guns, drones, missiles, and other equipment, much of that, including ammunition, has come directly from the U.S. inventory, depleting stockpiles intended for unexpected threats, defense officials say. There's your tax dollars at work. But don't worry. The defense contractors have got big, fat contracts to provide new weapons. This war is paying off huge for the defense industry. Don't worry about it. They'll have you all stocked back up. But right now, all the stuff that you paid for when you cheered for rebuilding the military, it's all been given away. And now our cupboards are bare. Gotta love that. Here's that one clip I wanted to play. Sri Lanka, a couple of months ago, the Sri Lankans finally had it. They ran their president out on a rail. He fled for his life. They overtook the palace. And my favorite part was seeing them all jumping into the presidential pool. Well, this is turning out into a trend that I can get behind.
Violent protests have turned deadly in Iraq after a prominent Shiite cleric resigned from politics. At least 15 people were killed as they clashed with security forces in Baghdad and beyond. A nationwide curfew is now in place. The cleric's supporters stormed the government palace, even swimming in the pool there.
So, government's being toppled and the normies getting to swim in their pools. This is a new thing. I got to tell you. Does the White House have a pool?
What's the frequency, can it be sharp and so drain?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. We finish every week the same way as we chronicle the world's descent into madness. With this week on the crazy train. Now, I gotta say, you know, what I look at is the world's descent into madness and chaos, and it hit close to home this week, didn't it? We finally made national news here in the city of Jackson, the capital city of Mississippi.
Hundreds of National Guard troops will be in Mississippi and will be handing out bottled water today to the people of Jackson suffering without clean water. So far, there's no timetable for when the long-neglected water treatment plant will be up and running again. The governor says a rental pump could be functional later today, which is only one step toward alleviating the problem.
Yeah, see, we're hitting the news. That's mainstream news. This was also, we had the president of the United States call on our own mayor.
President Biden has approved an emergency declaration for Mississippi as residents of the state capital try to find clean water. Thousands of people in Jackson lined up for hours at distribution sites for bottled water, with some supplies running out. The mayor says the city's water treatment plant failed after years of neglect, staffing shortages, and recent flooding.
These are challenges that first and foremost are beyond partisan. These are human rights challenges. And so we've been saying that it's not a matter of if our systems would fail, but when our systems fail, and we've seen it far too frequently.
He says it may cost billions of dollars to fix the water treatment system. He's vowing to organize more water distribution events in the coming days.
That's your mayor saying it wasn't a matter of if the system was going to fail. We've just been kicked back in a chair with our feet up on the desk, just waiting for the day that it did fail. So, poor Jackson. Poor Jackson. I've had an opportunity to talk to friends around the country. Someone that grew up here with me, living in Texas now, called me last night. What the hell is going on over there? My friend from San Diego, my old girlfriend, called me. Same thing. I told him, I said, just go to YouTube and take a look at Jackson City Council meetings or Kenneth Stokes and understand that these are the people running the city. You won't have any more questions. Now we're going to get into some COVID stuff here because the insanity is still going on there. Berkeley. This is Berkeley. Berkeley University in California is now demanding that students wear masks if they're not vaccinated against the flu. That's right. The masks now will be required if you do not have a flu shot in Berkeley, California. Speaking of shots, they've got more on deck for us. And they've got new improved shots. I'm just waiting. The only thing missing from this clip is for them to come out and say, we got new shots, and these have electrolytes. That will be when the prophecy from Idiocracy is fulfilled.
The Food and Drug Administration has authorized the first major upgrade in COVID-19 vaccine boosters. NPR's Rob Stein reports.
The vaccines are reformulated versions of Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines targeted to protect against the Omicron variant.
It's got electrolytes.
The reprogrammed shots are designed to bolster fading immunity, especially against the highly contagious Omicron subvariants that most people are catching now. The federal government plans to make the new boosters available starting next week. Public health officials hope they will contain a possible fall and winter surge. Some experts worry the new boosters won't live up to expectations.
No.
But others say the new shots could provide enough of a bridge to minimize the impact, especially among the most vulnerable.
And so they've got these new shots. We've been in this for a couple of years now. Certainly they've tested these things, right? I mean, we've had a little bit of time to get behind us. They've tested them, haven't they?
You know, no one's worried about safety. It's clear the vaccines are very safe, but critics say mouse...
Just that alone. It's very clear these things are safe. Pay no attention to VAERS, the CDC's own database of injuries, deaths, and maimings from these shots. Nobody's worried about the safety. This is what they tell you on the national news. But they have done a little bit of testing on these new boosters, just not with people.
You know, no one's worried about safety. It's clear the vaccines are very safe, but critics say mouse studies just aren't very good at predicting how vaccines work in people. And earlier vaccines, the tests on those earlier vaccines indicate they're only a bit better than the original shots at best. And so the worry is people will think these new shots protect them more than they really do. Here's John Moore. He's an immunologist at Weill Cornell Medicine.
There may be a modest benefit to protection against infection, but it will be modest, which is why I say don't believe that you're getting super strong shielding against infection.
That's right. What you heard was correct. Now, first of all, they're basically saying, they may give you a little bit more protection. Maybe. They're really worried that people might resist these things. Let's go into the second report. I think it fleshes it out a little bit more, how these things were tested.
vaccines were only tested in mice might make it even harder to convince people to get them.
Did you hear that? This guy's got something going on with his... He actually sounds sick to me. He's probably got COVID as he's reporting on this. Yeah, what you heard was they've only been tested on mice.
Vaccines were only tested in mice might make it even harder to convince people to get them. It's been a tough sell already convincing people to get their first or second boosters, and there's still plenty of people out there who haven't gotten any shots. And that's the main reason between 400 and 500 people are still dying every day from COVID.
I don't think so.
I'm sure many people are wondering how soon they can get these new boosters. What's the schedule?
Yeah, so the CDC will decide by the end of the week exactly who should get these new boosters and how they should be used once they become available next week. The FDA authorized the Moderna booster for anyone 18 and older and the Pfizer-BioNTech booster for anyone 12 and older. But some experts think the people who really need them are those at high risk, like older people and those with other health problems. Another big question is how long to wait to get the shots. The FDA says 2 months since the last shot is long enough, but others say that's too short. People should wait 4 to 6 months after their last shot or infection, or the new boosters may not just work very well.
We don't know. 2 months, 4 months may or may not work. We think, we hope, we surmise. But don't worry, we've tested it on mice. We've tested it on mice, and they're worried that this might cause people to have some kind of a resistance to getting these brand new boosters. These would be shots five, right? Got your first two, your second two, and now this will be your fifth shot 2 months after your last one. This was especially gross, and I just hope it's not true.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Can you explain for us what are the data you're waiting for to authorize these same kind of changes, but in the primary series for adults? And what are the data you're waiting for to make that same kind of change for boosters down to 6 months old?
Oh.
When should we expect those decisions? Thanks so much.
Peter,
let me take the second question because I know from I appreciate the letters from parents who are very interested in these. And I actually appreciate the fact that they've been very polite, actually. They want to know when they're going to have their boosters. I appreciate that.
Could this be true? Well, I did play the clips of American citizens who don't know how many states we have and can't name a shape with four sides to it. So maybe there actually are parents writing letters to these people asking when their children down to 6 months old can get the new boosters that were tested on mice. Is this possible?
We are waiting for the companies to submit data from children on these. So
does this follow that they test the vaccines on mice for humans and on baby mice to decide whether or not we should be injecting this into our toddlers? Is there a baby mice study?
We would expect, again, I can't promise an exact timing, but we expect to start seeing the age range drop down into the younger age ranges within the next 1 to 2 months. As we get submissions from the companies, we will act on them with all due diligence because we're aware that there are, particularly in the slightly older age ranges of children, some children that are coming due for boosters.
I can't listen to any more. He goes on. Your FDA, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest, most effective vaccine sales organization in the history of the world. And then there was this little nugget to wrap up all of the news on the new shots.
For the first time in a century, the life expectancy of Americans has dropped for 2 years in a row. That sobering fact comes from a provisional analysis out today from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports, the driving force of this trend is COVID-19, but there's more to the story.
Life expectancy.
Yeah, there's more to the story, but the clip goes on for another minute and 30 seconds. Trust me, they don't get to the part of the story that they probably should get to. A lot of people were really in conservative media were pretty upset that Brian Stelter got canceled at CNN. Not because he brought anything of any value whatsoever to the news landscape, but because he was so eminently clippable for gaffes and ridiculous statements. He was truly, truly horrible. Luckily, we do still have the spokesperson for the White House. What is this woman's name? Jean-Pierre something. I can't remember her name. Karine Jean-Pierre. She looks French. Anyway, she is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to clips and gaffes.
How come migrants are allowed to come into this country unvaccinated, but world-class tennis players are not?
Are you talking about which world-class tennis player?
Novak Djokovic.
So, as far, you know...
She's trying to find her page.
Just since you asked about me, about him, you asked me about him. So, visa records are confidential under U.S. law. Therefore, the U.S. government cannot discuss the details of individual visa cases. Due to privacy reasons, the U.S. government also does not comment on medical information of individual travelers as it relates to the tennis player.
So she's reading all of this. They were ready. This is Novak Djokovic. You know, he is not allowed to come in to play in the U.S. Open tournament because he's not vaccinated. And Peter Ducey asked, well, you got a bunch of people pouring across the southern border that aren't vaccinated, and you're letting them, busing them into the country. Why is this tennis star excluded? She actually had a page for that. She was reading all of that. She wants to respect his privacy, even though the tennis star himself has come out and explained the situation quite clearly to everybody. I don't have the shot. They won't let me in. She goes to her page where they have decided to tell you it's about privacies, why we can't explain to you why illegal immigrants pour through the southern border unvaxxed, but this world-class, finely tuned athlete is not allowed in.
The president thinks that there is an extremist threat to our democracy. The president has been clear, as he can be, on that particular piece. When we talk about a democracy, when we talk about our freedoms, the way that he sees is the MAGA Republicans are the most energized part of the Republican Party. This is an extreme threat to our democracy, to our freedom, to our rights.
Yeah. So this is official White House policy. Is that people who supported Donald Trump are extremists, the biggest threat to our democracy. So this is, as I say, this is official White House position all the way down to the spokeshole. She also said this, another kind of, I don't know, terrifying thing. She seems to be talking directly to me.
And again, we see majority of Americans who disagree. And so when you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking.
Yeah, there you are. If you do not think with the majority, you are an extremist. I am the extremist's extremist. I disagree with both sides of the aisle and darn near everything. The war on Trump voters, Republicans in general, is not just at the federal level, it's also at the state levels. This is the eminently horrible, that's her first name, Hochul. She's the governor now, replaced Cuomo in New York. And she wants her state rid of these threats to democracy.
And we're here to say that the era of Trump and Zeldin and Molinaro, just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? Get out of town. Get out of town. Because you don't represent our values. You are not New Yorkers.
National divorce. You should jump on a bus and get to Florida or any other state because there is no coexisting with people who have those views. And this was just an interesting clip of Joe Biden. He uses one word that I think is interesting. He uses the word again.
Protect voting rights. We'll pass election reform and make sure no one ever has an opportunity to steal an election again.
Wait, what? Steal an election again? Wonder what he's referring to. We'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, about to finish up the show. I'm going to have to move Crazy Train to like a full hour segment. I never have time to play everything. I'll see what we get to next year. Before I get there, though, I want to remind you, if you're looking for somewhere good to go out to eat, a good bargain for the family, a nice environment, fantastic food, make sure you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right up there by Germantown High School. 10 and 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas made the way you want them right in front of you there, or you can order online or through the app. They also have pastas, paninis, salads, gelatos, beers, and wines, televisions to catch catch games if you want to do that as well. It's a veteran-owned, locally-owned business. They're also available on some of the delivery apps, but make sure you download their app, the YourPie app. You'll be able to scan every receipt or get credit for every order that you do online. You'll be able to qualify for free pizzas, free desserts, all kinds of goodies. So make sure that you download the YourPie app. Again, that's 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, veteran-owned, locally-owned, and fantastic food. That is YourPie up in Gluckstadt. Express your inner pizza this weekend. All right, let's see what else we want to get into here. I guess we'll get into some of this green weenie stuff. They've got the climate alarmists. They've got some more predictions just right around the corner.
We turn next tonight to the new study on climate change, now predicting global sea levels will rise nearly a foot by the end of this century with catastrophic effects. Researchers found that human-driven climate change has set into motion massive ice losses in Greenland that can't be stopped even if the world ended greenhouse emissions today.
Okay.
The authors now say the world needs to plan now for the impacts later this century.
Okay. Well, damage has been done then. We can shut up about it. They said there's nothing we can do even if we could try to control it now. So there's that. I like that one. They set that one out. You know, they've been doing so many of these 20- and 30-year predictions. Time flies. As you get older, you really figure this out. Time just flies by, and each prediction wrong, wronger, and wrongest. So they've set this one out plenty far so that people listening to it today will be long dead and gone by the time this failed prediction comes into play as well. When it comes to climate change and their control, and I'm telling you, this is not going to work out well for you. For all of you out there embracing all of this smart technology, inviting Alexas and all of these things into your homes. I can't even name the other ones because I'm not buying one of these things. But you're trying to wire your home for all of that great convenience you've been sold by big tech. Be warned.
We are expecting a blistering 95 degrees here tomorrow. And during these dog days of summer, of course, it's so important to keep your home cool.
Well, when thousands of XL customers in Colorado tried adjusting their thermostats Tuesday, they learned they couldn't. Denver 7 consumer investigator Jacqueline Allen talked with some of those customers. Jacqueline, they're upset they had no control over the temp in their own home.
That's right. And, you know, Xcel is calling this a rare energy emergency. And, yes, they took over tens.
An emergency. A rare weather emergency. A heat emergency. And so they took over control of their home thermostats.
Of thousands of smart thermostats here in Colorado, for the first time, there was nothing homeowners could do about it.
Huh. Another hot one today with temperatures in the low 90s.
Even Mike Nelson would tell you Tuesday was a hot one.
The heat goes on.
Which is why Tony Tallarico tried to crank up the AC.
I mean, it was 90 out, and it was right during the peak period.
That's when he found out he had no control of his thermostat. A message from Xcel on his thermostat saying temperature locked during an energy emergency.
And normally, when we see a message like that, we're able to override it. In this case, we weren't. So our thermostat was locked in at 78 or 79.
Turns out.
See, that's the. That's genius. That's genius. See, they've allowed people to override it before so that everybody thought, oh, yeah, sometimes it locks me out, but I can get right past that. They tell their friends, this thing's fantastic. You know, I can turn down my air conditioner when I get out of the office and I get in my car. I can turn my AC down so it's nice and cool at my house when I get there. Or in Colorado's case, nice and warm by the time I get home. You got to get one of these things. They're fantastic.
But he's not alone. Xcel confirms to Contact Denver 7, 22,000 customers were locked out of their smart thermostats for hours on Tuesday.
It's a voluntary program. Let's remember that this is something that customers choose to be a part of based on the incentives.
Xcel VP Emmett Romine says customers enrolled in the Colorado AC Rewards Program sign up to get money back, but give up some control for the greater good.
So it helps everybody for people to participate in these programs. It is a bit uncomfortable for a short period of time, but it's very, very helpful.
Oh, yeah. And that short period of time is going to get longer and longer and more frequent the more you embrace this stuff. California, we played clips of it a couple weeks ago. They've decided they are done with gasoline cars by, I think, something like 2035, ratcheting up the number of electric cars that need to be on the roads. And then by 2035, I think that's the year, they're going to ban all internal combustion engines, no more gas vehicles there. This past week, California asked residents not to charge electric vehicles days after announcing the car ban, and they told their citizens to keep their air conditioning at 78 degrees. They had a grid emergency. So they told all their citizens right after they passed a bill saying we're going to get rid of gas cars, they can't charge their cars now because of a climate emergency out there. This has all the hallmarks of great government ideas that'll go as well as all the rest of them.
In Los Angeles County, more than 60,000 people are homeless on the average night. And more than 20,000 hotel rooms lie empty on the average night. See where this might be going?
It's insane. It isn't going to solve the problem.
We think this is one part of the solution. By no means do we think this solves the homelessness crisis. But do hotels have a role to play? Of course they do.
So the union he leads, which reps hotel workers, gathered enough signatures and Angelenos will vote on a bill that would force every hotel in town to report vacancies at 2 p.m. every day, then welcome homeless people into those vacant rooms.
What could possibly go wrong there? Oh, think about that if you book a trip to L.A. And then this last clip for the day.
Also tonight, Air France suspending two of its pilots after a mid-air physical fight in the cockpit. The incident apparently happened in June. On a flight from Geneva to Paris, members of the crew had to separate the pilots. The airline tonight saying the flight continued. It landed safely. The dispute did not affect, they say, the rest of the flight.
Boy, I got to tell you, that's a whole new definition in 2022 of cockfights. There you go. Over the Atlantic and your pilots get into a fist fight. Oh, what is happening to our world? Well, anyway, ignore it for the weekend. Have a great one. I will see everybody on Tuesday. Have a great Labor Day.
No matter
Bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.